Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. I'm Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. It's a new year, and we want to update everyone on some of the hot topics from 2021 because they are continuing into 2022. And one of those, of course, is the status of the market for previously owned boats, because most loopers who are buying a boat for the Great Loop are looking in that space, and it's been a challenging time for sure. So my guest today will be Curtis Stokes of Curtis Stokes & Associates. Most of you probably know him. He's been a guest before, but he'll update us on what to expect for 2022. Before we jump in, I want to take a moment, as always, to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage our listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And now I would like to officially welcome Curtis Stokes. Curtis, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. Good to be here. Although, as you can tell, I'm not in Florida at the moment.
No. You look like you're dressed a little bit warm for Florida today.
Jill said, nobody recognizes me without my white polo shirt. And I said, well, you know, it is 30-some degrees. And I'm back here in Maryland, got in late last night to a whole lot of snow. So I miss Fort Myers already.
Yeah, well, thankfully you got in okay last night. So for those, as I said, you have been a supporter of AGLCA for a very long time and know many loopers. But for those who are new and have not met you yet, just fill us in on your background and what you do for loopers.
Sure. I am president of Curtis Stokes & Associates, Inc. We're a yacht brokerage firm. We have 10 offices and 50 brokers around the country, and we specialize in marketing and selling Great Loop capable boats. And several of our brokers are platinum loopers or gold loopers, and that's what we specialize in. Been at it for quite a while. We've been an AGLCA sponsor for many, many years, and appreciate the relationship. And we've certainly witnessed a lot of changes over the years and the growth, and we're here for the long run to support the loop, and we're just here to try to help people buy and sell boats as best we can.
And right now there are a lot of folks looking to buy, and we know that's kind of a common theme among some of our newer members. You joined us at this time last year to talk about what had happened during the shutdown. I don't want to say that we're post-COVID, during COVID, we're still during COVID. So, but initially, you know, back in 2020, when things shut down, I think we kind of all expected, you know, the worst, that everybody would be looking to sell boats and nobody would be looking to buy them. Of course, that is not what happened. And we sat here at the beginning of 2021 talking about this kind of boat buying frenzy that happened. You know, obviously boating is a great way to social distance. People were putting off other trip of a lifetime type trips that would have taken them overseas. So lots of people were buying boats. So did anything change during 2021 from when you first briefed us about the, you know, the kind of frenzy, so to speak, to find boats and the fact that there were a lot more buyers at that time than sellers?
The only thing that changed really was the continued decline in inventory, available inventory on the market. Not to repeat what we've discussed in the past, but to highlight, you know, as this all started in March of 2020, and in June and July, we doubled our sales like so many others. And then it just plateaued and way above other previous years. And then last year, it came down very slightly to staying the same. We had some spikes here and there. Very surprised at how busy December was. Normally during the Christmas holiday, New Year's, it slows down a little bit. Didn't slow down a bit. We had a mad rush in December of people trying to close by the end of the year. It was pretty frantic, and I thought, okay, well, normally the first 2 weeks of January are quiet because everybody's going back to work, going back to school. It's only, you know, the first week of January, but I can tell you since Monday, it has been insane. The phone's ringing off the hook, the emails, the inquiries, and its buyers. We are starting to get a few more listings, but nothing like the volume of buyers. I've got just some numbers I wanted to throw out to you just to give you an example of what's been going on. In December of 2019, a total of, this is according to Yacht World, a total of 2,724 boats were sold. Of that, 2,037 were power and only 687 were sale. Pretty incredible numbers there just alone. But then in December of 2020, the sales, the number of total sales was 3,743. That's, you know, over 1,000 boats more sold in 2020 than 2019. Power was 2,854 and sale was 888. So again, a huge difference between power and sales selling. But then December of 2021, this past December, 3,351 boats sold. So what is that? Just slightly less than 300 boats from 2020. Still a huge number. So as I'm saying, you know, the volume of buyers is still there, the volume of sales. And I attribute that smaller number, which isn't that much smaller, to the lack of inventory. If we had had more, and when I say we, all brokers and all sellers, even for sale by owners, if there had been more on the market, those numbers would have increased. And the numbers between power and sales stayed about the same as far as percentage. Sales been pretty steady, but power boats just went out of sight.
And those are really interesting statistics and interesting to see that it has stayed so high with the lack of inventory, but knowing that it could go even higher if there were boats available. Obviously so many people bought boats, so the things that maybe had been on the market for a while have sold. How is that inventory shaping up for 2022? Do you predict that there'll continue to be a shortage of boats available for those who are looking to buy them, or do you think things will start to smooth out a little bit?
Well, I'm sure hoping it's going to smooth out, because I describe this as an unbalanced market, and an unbalanced market in any commodity is not healthy. And I'm certainly not an economist, but an economist would tell you that if we have an equal number of buyers and sellers, everybody's happy. There's transactions going on and buyers are finding the boats they want. And the sellers are selling their boats for reasonable prices. When we're in a buyer's market and the sellers are having to continually reduce their price and they're upset because they're not getting a reasonable return on their boat. And then in a seller's market, we have too many buyers and the sellers are increasing their prices and the buyers are frustrated. They can't find a boat. Well, that's what we're in now, obviously. I didn't predict COVID. I didn't predict the insane market that we've been in for the past couple of years. So I'm not a good source for predicting where we're going from here. Be that as it may, I still predict that we'll have a steady decline in the volume of sales with a slight increase in inventory. People keep telling me that everybody who went out and bought a boat irrationally or emotionally or whatever are going to get out of boating whenever we get clear of COVID to some degree. I'm not so sure about that, especially with looper capable boats. The Great Loop has become such a popular thing to do, a bucket list, and just in general popular, and boating to get away from it all, that I just don't see that demand lessening. And I keep reading and studying about the baby boomer generation, of which I am a member at the tail end, retiring or about to retire, and it matches the inquiries that I'm getting from buyers who are saying to me, I'm 1 year out, I'm 5 years out from retirement, I want to start planning buying my boat, not necessarily just for the Great Loop, but even just for cruising the Chesapeake Bay or the Great Lakes or wherever. So I still see a steady supply of buyers coming into the market. I don't see a sudden shift of sellers just suddenly dumping their boats on the market, because the inquiries we're getting from sellers selling their boats is for them to buy a bigger boat or a different type of boat. So a lot of these people who bought a boat during COVID are actually contacting us saying, okay, it wasn't quite the right boat, but it was fun. So now I want to sell that and buy another boat. So that kind of negates the whole inventory issue because they sell that boat, but then they're buying another one. So I don't see a drastic change in the market unless we have a macro economic effect on the market, like a major recession or war, or whatever, that affects the whole economy. It's just the demand is there. The money is there. The desire, you know, is definitely there to buy boats. So we just need the inventory. Some of the things that I'm seeing are just this morning on Yacht World. Every morning I get up and I look at price reductions and new listings, and I'm noticing more and more price reductions, especially on, like, say, the high powered center consoles with 3, 4, 5 engines hanging off the back. I think that market got a little overheated and a little over ahead of itself. So we'll see some price reductions there. I think some of the sellers also got ahead of themselves on pricing, especially owners of older boats. And I'm sure you're going to ask me about insurance and financing and all that. But, you know, 30 years and older, is those boats are not selling like hotcakes. I mean, it's the newer boats. If we list a 2000 and newer boat, it's sold very quickly if it's priced right and in good condition. But the older boats are taking a longer time to sell. So the sellers have to be more realistic in their expectations on their pricing. And in some cases, that's not happening and the boats haven't sold. So they're now starting to reduce their prices. And this morning, I saw that quite a bit suddenly. And we usually see that the first week of January, where people say, OK, we made it through the holiday season and we haven't sold our boats. So now let's get the price down. Let's get this thing sold and move on.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned that about some of the older boats, and we will jump into the insurance issues and the financing issues a little bit. But, you know, I think there's a perception now, since a lot of boats have sold and it's a little bit harder to find boats, that what's left is either older boats where the sellers have unrealistic expectations because it is a seller's market, or things that otherwise, you know, the seller is either hadn't been intending to sell but thought, if I can get X for the boat, I'm going to go ahead and sell it. Or what's left are things that other people have rejected. Is that what you're seeing, or is that kind of a misconception based on the way the market is right now?
No, there's certainly boats that are on the market that have been through multiple surveys. There are boats on the market that are grossly overpriced. Like one the other day, I had a buyer inquire about, and I showed him the sold comparables. It was over $100,000 above the last sale price of a similar brand and model. I mean, that's the extreme. So we have some of that. But we do, I'm not saying we're not selling older boats. We're selling a lot of older boats, but they have to be priced for the market, and the market is not overheated as it is on the newer boats because of financing and insurance. We have so many new to boat ownership buyers that are struggling to get insurance and financing, and they have to go with the newer boats to have a chance of buying, unless they have plenty of money and can pay cash and have some insurance option, you know, other than the main market.
Yeah, and we're going to jump into that a little bit because it does tie in so closely with what you do. I know that that's not, you know, necessarily where you're expert, but because you deal with it every day, you have a lot of information for us. But one more question kind of about this supply and demand cycle. It's pretty typical for some loopers to buy a boat for the loop, do the loop, sell the boat. You know, some sell the boat in favor of something that is, you know, going to keep them cruising. Some just move on to RVing or whatever the next thing might be. But so we certainly have some looper boats that have been around, you know, 2, 3, 4 times at this point. And I think if we look at our statistics for the boats completing the Great Loop, it was obviously low in 2020 because of COVID. I want to say it topped out at 150 or so, if I'm not mistaken, maybe a little bit less than that. Most of those finished in the first half of the year because either they finished before COVID started, or if they were near crossing their weight, they continued after March when things shut down. Then in, you know, the second half of 2020 and the first half of 2021, we saw almost no weight crossings. In the middle of 2021, we were sitting at July 1st and we had seen 2 or 3 people who had crossed their wake. That certainly picked up in the second half of the year because people didn't start cruising again until the second half of 2020. So, you know, a year later, they started crossing their wakes. In the end, we had 128, if I'm not mistaken, boats cross their wake in 2021. Lower than a standard year. People thought that, you know, 2021 would be insane with the number of people crossing their wake, but because so many people didn't start in 2020, not as many finished in 2021. But to kind of make that long story short, there was a lack of loopers finishing the loop and putting their boats on the market for a good 12-month period there. But as it picked up in the second half of 2021, did you see some of those looper boats start to come to market? And do you expect that to continue into 2022 as we get to a more normal, whatever that might be, looping pattern? People are finishing. Are you seeing more loopers turn gold and put the boat up for sale? And might that help some of people who are desperately searching for that boat?
Yes, we are seeing some, but not a tremendous volume, not as much as some people predicted, because I'm finding a number of people have extended their cruising after completing the loop, crossing their wake. And they're saying, well, let's go back here or there, or let's keep boating because they didn't want to go back to land or back to wherever they came from. So it's certainly not the volume of turnover that we would normally see. And there's so many people that are still owning a boat that want to do the loop that held off because of COVID or the COVID affected border shutdowns and things like that. So there's a lot of pent up, and anticipation of doing the loop next year, and they're holding on to their boats longer, either in storage or just cruising and doing a regional cruise until they can do the loop. So it's skewed everything. I mean, there's just no rhyme or reason to any of it until you get into all of the effects that are going on here. And I don't see it. I just don't see a mad rush of people putting their boats on the market, completing the Great Loop, and then dumping their boats. Now, what we do see, which doesn't help brokers, but, you know, it's a fact, is a number of people in this very hot market are selling their boat themselves. There's a lot of for sale by owners, especially with the internet, and it does work. We are working with a number of buyers who compensate us as their buyer broker so that we can sell them a for sale by owner. So a lot of, you know, owners are allowing brokers to sell their boats. Some aren't, you know, because they sense that they don't need the assistance of a broker. So be it. I think as the market slows down to a more normal, as we keep calling it, expectation, then we'll see people start to list their boats for sale because it becomes harder to get the boat sold on your own. And especially for someone who's from outside of the area, who's not going to stay on the boat while it's for sale or doesn't live nearby. So that will change some. We'll have more inventory as brokers, as time goes by.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break and play a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, I do want to kind of talk about the insurance issues that we've touched on briefly. I want to dive into that a little bit more and also talk about the importance of a buyer's broker in this market, particularly what the pitfalls might be if you're trying to, if there's a boat listed for sale by owner and it's done completely without brokers. There can be some challenges there. So let's do the message. We'll be back in a moment.
Did you know that every mile of the Great Loop is covered by both the Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob? Use them to plan your Great Loop cruise and learn about the places you can visit. In the cockpit, important navigation info is always ready at your side, plus marina listings, anchorages, services, and so much more. Each Skipper Bob and Waterway Guide is updated yearly, and waterwayguide.com and skipperbob.net keep you current with navigation alerts, cruising news, fuel prices, and special deals. With the Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob at the helm, you'll always be on course. Order yours today at the AGLCA Ship Store at greatloop.org. Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob are proud sponsors at the Admiral level with AGLCA.
We're back on Great Loop Radio. My guest today is Curtis Stokes of Curtis Stokes & Associates. He is updating us on the status of the boat buying market as we launch into 2022. Curtis, in the first segment, we talked a little bit about some of the challenges with insurance and financing. particularly with older boats. We do have one of our insurance sponsors coming in the coming weeks to be our guest and update us more thoroughly on the insurance markets, but kind of give us the highlights and how it affects what boats people might be able to purchase.
Sure. It is still affecting the market, especially insurance, much more so than financing, but financing seems to follow insurance on their guidelines. So most of the insurance companies are not keen to insure a boat 30 years or older. Several are now at 20 years and older. Some people are getting liability insurance policies only, but I'm also hearing of some companies that are reluctant to issue those too. The other side of it is the buying side, their ownership experience level. The insurance companies have had just so many claims that they have really cut back on their liberal policies for people who have not owned a boat before or have very little boating experience. We used to be able to connect some of our inexperienced buyers with a captain or, you know, training captain like Chris and Elise Caldwell and some of the other AGLCA sponsors. And they would get insurance after the captain signed off on their comfort level that they could run the boat. And that doesn't even seem to be allowed in a lot of cases now. They're basing it almost solely on ownership experience. And they don't want to insure someone on a boat more than 15 feet larger than the largest boat they've ever owned. Now, we are spending a vast majority of our time on the telephone and in person in initial conversations with buyers about this, that they've never heard about this or they've heard snippets of it and they don't really understand it. So we are spending an enormous amount of time educating buyers, new buyers, on the insurance market. And we've gotten to the point now where we're practically insisting that buyers get pre-approved for insurance, because we've seen numerous cases over the past couple of years now where for years, we would just not even discuss insurance. We would go through the survey and then the buyer would get their insurance and we would close. Then the buyer started saying, well, I'm having trouble getting insurance. And so we had to start backing up and saying, okay, let's make sure this is a boat you can get insured. Now it's absolutely critical because they're going to waste their time traveling around the country. They're going to waste their money and they're going to waste their money on surveys. And then the worst thing that I've seen happen is early on, several buyers accepted a boat after survey and then couldn't get insurance. And it was a real dilemma. So, you know, some defaulted and had to give up their deposit. And some we were able to search all over for insurance and finally found some. I have seen quotes that are absolutely outrageous. You know, where it was typically 1 to 1.5% of value per year for insurance, I'm seeing quotes 3, 4, even 5% of value. And one buyer asked me, is this a reasonable quote? I said, in this market, probably, but in a normal market, absolutely not. It's outrageous. And I said, you really need to keep shopping for insurance. And you've got to know. So I'm getting buyers coming to me saying, well, I want to buy a 55-foot boat to do the Great Loop, and they're just not going to get qualified. The biggest boat they've ever owned is like a 17-foot ski boat. The insurance companies really start cutting back dramatically on boats 50-foot and larger for inexperienced buyers. Some buyers are having to buy smaller boats for a year or so and then sell and buy a bigger boat. Or they're having to pay an outrageous premium for a medium-sized boat in their regards and then shop again in a year or so. So it's very frustrating for the buyers. I have a lot of sellers who say to me, well, I have insurance. I'm like, yeah, you might, but you know, getting new insurance is a lot different than getting reinsured. So it's the sellers have to be prepared for this too, because they think they have their boat sold and then the buyer can't get insurance.
Yeah. And I, from my perspective, I am hearing from members on a regular basis, and I see it frequently on social media where somebody has bought a boat that far into the process. I don't know whether they've literally closed, but phrases it that they have bought a boat and now have discovered that they can't get it insured. So one of the benefits of working with an expert like Curtis up front is that you find that these things out much earlier in the process and save yourself some time and money and heartache, of course. And that kind of leads me into the next question, which is, you know, it's a seller's market. There's lots of boats going up for sale by owner. As you mentioned earlier, you can still have a buyer's broker represent you. Of course, that broker needs to be compensated by someone in that equation. And typically, if it's a for sale by owner situation, sometimes then the buyer will be the one who compensates the broker. But give us just a few reasons, you know, why people should consider still being represented, even if it's a for sale by owner situation.
Sure. As you know, I'm a big advocate of buyer brokerage, having somebody represent you in the transaction. We, you know, with what I said earlier about so many for sale by owners out there, I cringe every time I look on the internet and see on Facebook or on the forum well-intentioned opinions about you don't need a broker, that I've sold my boat personally or I bought a boat personally with no assistance. And what they don't know is that, let's say the seller had a loan on the boat, even if they paid the loan off and that loan was registered with the U.S. Coast Guard as a lien, well, somebody has to get that removed. And I see it time and time again where one of these people will go to sell their boat and everything went smoothly because all they did was sign a bill of sale, have it notarized and took it in and had it state registered. The buyer of their boat now goes to document it with the Coast Guard and the Coast Guard goes, hey, you know, this is still owned by Jim Jones and there's a lien on the boat. And we have to then backtrack and go find that seller. Hopefully the seller is alive or available and the bank is available and cooperating to get that lien removed at the Coast Guard. We also constantly see very minute problems with documentation and state registration, where it's just a simple hull ID number inverted, two numbers changed accidentally, or the hull ID number on the transom doesn't match what's on the Coast Guard documentation or state registration. That holds everything up. We can't get the boat transferred. We had one the other day where the gentleman bought it about a year ago, never registered it, never documented it. He said, but I have a bill of sale from the seller to me. You can't transfer ownership of the boat with a bill of sale from two other parties. So he has to now go and document the boat. He has to delete the previous registration at the Coast Guard and document it. And then he has to transfer title to the buyer. So when you're not dealing with the people who are guiding you through the process, you have to make sure you somehow know the process and do it correctly, because it may all go smoothly up front, but it's at the end where we see all the problems. And the documentation companies are not going to let things slide because it's their liability, you know, and they're the ones that are going to get sued. And sometimes us, you know, as brokers, because we got into the middle of this not knowing that this had happened previously. That's why when we list a boat, we always ask for a copy of the state registration or the Coast Guard documentation. And we're even doing abstracts of title now when we list boats, just to make sure there aren't any issues that will trip us up down the road. Problem is, we sell a lot of other brokers' listings because we are buyer brokers. We don't have access to some of that information. So it does become an issue. A buyer broker from the very beginning. And especially in an overheated market, because people are calling me saying, I'm really, really frustrated. Every boat I call on is under contract, but it's not marked sale pending. The problem is, for years, all brokers used Yacht World. I mean, it was the website to go to. Yacht World has lost a lot of members because they've been just unbelievable in their pricing. Pricing has skyrocketed and driven a number of small brokers off the platform. So we now have to look at multiple websites to find boats. The problem is, a lot of those websites don't allow us to mark a boat sale pending, and so it looks active to the general public. And yes, there are brokers that don't remove their listings. We call on other brokers' listings and they sold a year ago or 2 years ago. So it is frustrating, but it depends on the website and how, you know, their system is set up, whether we can even mark it sale pending. And most brokers don't mark a boat sale pending until the buyer accepts the boat, because we have so many times where a buyer will back out of a deal for some reason unrelated to the boat. And so the boat keeps going in and out of sale pending, and it gets a reputation unfairly. And that's the thought process behind most brokers saying, to be fair, we don't market sale pending until it really is 100% going to close, you know, without all the contingencies. Sure, it's not a perfect system, but that's the system we have. But I know it's very frustrating to a lot of buyers who are just out there calling and emailing and not getting inquiries from, not getting responses from brokers. I have brokers that I'm still waiting a response from for 2 weeks ago from four of my buyers. They just went on vacation and they're gone. And I just cannot get any response back. So it is very frustrating. We have a lot of new brokers in the market who have no experience. They just suddenly became brokers. And that happens every time the market is this strong. And it's not just boat brokerage, it's car sales, it's real estate. You know, see people say, wow, there's easy money here. Let's become a yacht broker in this case. There are still some very, very excellent yacht brokers who are trying to do it right. And we enjoy working with them. And we make the process smooth as best we can without all these hassles that are coming up with the internet, you know, causing a lot of it, unfortunately.
Yeah. And one thing I like to put in a plug for all of our sponsors who are yacht brokers, and you can find them in our sponsor directory on the AGLCA website. But one of the things that happens with a community like AGLCA is that our sponsors are active in the community. They get plugged in with other loopers. And, you know, there are boats that looper boats that are finishing up the loop and getting ready to sell. And we'll reach out to someone like Curtis and say, I'm getting ready to sell. And Curtis already, if you have a buyer's broker who's plugged in with loopers, then they may know of boats coming to market and being giving you kind of the forward look at what might be coming up, and may be able to connect you with the boat you're looking for before it hits the market. So, you know, just another advantage to sticking with the AGLCA community and working with one of our sponsors is that they typically know what might be available soon. Curtis, just as we wrap up, any final tips for those who may be out there searching for a boat in 2022?
Getting pre-approved for insurance, working with a buyer broker, and not just anybody who calls themselves a buyer broker, but, you know, one that really is one who travels, who inspects boats for you as a buyer, and, you know, is there for the showing and is there for the survey. You have to work with a broker that's intimately involved in the transaction and not asking for courtesy showings from the listing broker. Otherwise, just work with the listing broker directly. You know, getting pre-approved for financing up front also, and just being patient with the inventory issue that you're going to have a lot of boats that are under contract you inquire about. And for the sellers, I'm even recommending a pre-listing survey, which I never recommended previously, because we have so many condition issues for some of these boats going on the market that are tripping them up on survey. It will save the seller money in the long run if they know what issues they have and can put their boat on the market with a clean oil analysis, or if they don't get it, then a clean one, then they can address the issue before listing the boat for sale or being in the middle of a sale. So everybody, you know, just be prepared for a market that's still a little frustrating, but getting slightly better.
All right. Great information. This is going to continue to be a hot topic for quite some time, I think, Curtis. So if there's any developments, certainly let us know. And we appreciate you sharing all of your time and knowledge with us today. And thank you for your long-term sponsorship of AGLCA.
Thank you.
And thanks to all our listeners. We will be back again next week with another episode of Great Loop Radio. Until then, safe cruising.